the state and legislature imposed a 3% tax cap. We knew that was going to affect the counties very hard because the counties don't have not a lot of possibilities to bring in extra revenue. And so the hiring freeze that you mentioned, it was mentioned to us that we would more than likely be in a hiring freeze for a few years here until the county can get caught up. And then, yeah, I had asked for two additional staff, and one of those got cut. What I do want to make sure that I mention on here, though, is that this is not any result of our commissioners. Our commissioners are great. They met with me several months before this to let me know that we're going to be in a county deficit with the tax cap, unfortunately. And with our office growing, with adding a new jail pod, so just to give you an example, I mean, they asked me to try to stay around a 0% increase if possible, but not go over 3% because that's all we can raise taxes, of course. And our budget in general went up 5.96%. So we were over that 3%, and that's, of course, a result of our addition of the jail pod and all the people that we need to hire for that, and then also a courtroom to accommodate those extra people that we're going to be bringing into the jail. And that's just operational costs. So just our operational costs are over a 3%, which is the tax cap. So it's not no fault of our commissioners. Our commissioners are great. They're trying to figure out how to work through this tax cap. But it's just not possible with a growing county, with a growing community like Cass County is, because we're growing at a higher rate than 3%. So, so we're trying to figure it out. I'm trying to work together with them. We at the county, we're different than the city, like the city of Fargo Police Department and West Fargo, because they've got sales tax to accommodate their budgets to help them. We don't have that. They've got opportunities through the city to raise fees on water, on garbage collection. The county has no way to do any of that. We don't have any of that stuff. So the county's in trouble. and as the sheriff's office, we work for the county. The sheriff's office is almost 60% of the county budget. So yeah, it's going to be very hard for us going here over the next several years. I see that with the hiring freeze and stuff, probably a little bit of a decline of our office, which is unfortunate. I understand the tax cap. I mean, people's taxes are going up. Mine are going up like crazy as well. I think that this is more of a legislative and state issue or responsibility or whatever we want to say, because it got posed as a 3% tax cap, but there was no other ideas or strategies at a state level to supplement counties. We're not the only county that's going to be in trouble. If I talk to my sheriffs across the state, they're all going to experience hardships. So, but it is what it is. I mean, it's something we're just going to have to try to work through. I don't know how we'll make it work, but we'll try over the next years here. But yeah, the idea is not to be able to hire any more people here, so the county can try to catch up with the cap, and I think that'll take several years. So, but again, just want to make sure it's not a fault of our commissioners. They worked very diligently with me to try to make this work to get us what we need. And at the end of the day, it looked like we're going to be in about a $5 million deficit right off the bat here. The county is, and it wasn't just us that got cut. It got cut. Several of the other departments in the county got some mills moved from their divisions and things like that. So it wasn't just the sheriff's office.
And we'll offer conversations with the county commissioners. Obviously, if you've got tough decisions to make with that kind of deficit, there's no doubt about it. Personally, to me, law enforcement should be the last thing cut, only because last time I checked, your calls for service, your interactions that are happening aren't going down, right? I mean, you're year over year dealing with more crime, and now you have to do it with less people and what likely will be a hiring freeze going forward. Does that concern you just from the forward-facing efforts of the Cass County Commission? Less people, you just don't have as many assets to deal with them, am I right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, our calls for service are going up. Obviously, we're in a growing community, so we're going to have that. And with the jail expansion, being able to staff that and operate that, it's going to be tough. That's unique to the county, to the sheriff's office. But there were other cuts, though, like I mentioned, across the board. I mean, they're looking to do a 2% employee management strategy across the board. That's across the whole county. I know the road department, which is obviously infrastructure. They were having to make cuts, so it wasn't just us. The commissioners really did do diligent work to try to take, you know, make as least cuts from us as they could. But at the end of the day, our budget is right around that $30 million mark, and that's a lot of money when I think the overall taxes, and don't quote me on this, but the overall taxes that comes into Cass County, I think, is somewhere around like, $55 million or somewhere in there. So, you know, you're talking about us, like I said, taking a large portion of that budget, and there's still a lot of other divisions within Cass County government that have to operate, the county road department, our coroner's office, veteran services, finance, all those things. So all of them, you know, when they looked at that employee management with the freeze that I was telling you, that was made across the whole county to look at that and not just us. So,
I want to ask you about a different topic. You put out a statement earlier this week related to the sentencing of Darren Viken, a former Cass County deputy that was charged with the 6 counts of disorderly conduct stemming from several women involved in the 24/7 program at the sheriff's office, and that accused him of disorderly conduct involving inappropriate sexual comments and actions. And the sentence was hard to fathom here, but 5 days of electronic home monitoring, 50 hours of community service, a $270 fine, and some unsupervised probation for a year, obviously surrendering his peace officer license as well. You expressed some huge disappointment in this. Unfortunately, this is not rare. Speak to this case specifically and what you think would have been a more appropriate sentence, and then just more generally on how we continue to see this over and over again. In the case of violent offenders, you're re-encountering them after they're being let out, not even serving their full sentence. So in this case, it's a sentencing question. Your reaction to that, what should have the appropriate punishment been, do you believe?
Yeah, well, thanks again for bringing this up, Scott, because I do think it's important to speak to it. And very much like you said, yeah, I was very disappointed in it. I mean, in this case, the charge is a misdemeanor charge. It's a B misdemeanor, so it's not at a high level per se. I mean, the maximum is 30 days, right? And then a $1,500 fine, that's the maximum. But when we look at the totality of the circumstances here, there were 6 counts. This isn't just a one disorderly conduct charge. This is it happening repeatedly, and of the nature in which it was done, in a sexual nature, and using power and authority that I granted this person through the election of the Cass County people and them electing me as sheriff. That gives me the authority to, deputize deputies to work under and carry out our mission, vision, and values. And this person used that power and authority that I granted them through that deputization to take advantage of others. And it was actually more than 6 times. There were just 6 times, 6 counts charged. But there were other victims that were affected by this that maybe didn't quite meet the statute, or they were afraid to come forward. And then on top of that, Scott, the other thing that we need to think about that a lot of people maybe don't realize is there were a number of other things that this affected, because this person being charged out now, they weren't necessarily able to testify in court on other cases. I don't know if there were any promises made through their activity that they were doing to victimize people. And, some people were avoiding jail time, or maybe, that type of thing, because they were cooperating with what he was asking them to do. So there's a number of effects on that. And then there's the effects on our community, because of the trust and accountability factor that we try to work so hard for every day so that we can interact with our community. And then the effects of on our sheriff's office, because after this happened and our staff went out to take calls for service, it was tough for them to do that because there was some negative comments towards our staff and our staff that were going out to do the right things. And I don't blame anyone, I mean, because of what he did. But it was hard for them. It was embarrassing for them. So we have that. And then just the effects on the law enforcement profession. So the totality of all those is what makes us so disappointing and actually kind of ridiculous, to be honest with you. And you know what? I don't know what the right sentence is, but I think some jail time should have been served. It was a couple days for each count, and it added up to one 30-day sentence. There had to have been something done. And the thing is, with the peace officer license, we actually notified the post board back in January, so we had already started that process. So that wasn't a process of the court. And I've been on the post board in the past, so most certainly we don't want this person to be a law enforcement officer again, and I'll do my best at the state level, at the post board level, to make sure that doesn't happen. But we had already started that process, so I think that being part of the sentence is just kind of something that was put in there to make it look a little bit more harsh, but we had actually started that. So it is disappointing. And then to your last point, it seems like, we are dealing with the same people over and over and over. It's a little bit different than this situation, of course, but with other sentences that we're getting through the criminal justice process in our local area here, I can name a number of people that we deal with over and over and over, and I've gone through the court process numerous times and are still out and about. So that is, it's very frustrating. I'll tell you, they're just being at the legislative level for the last several years here and testifying on bills. There does seem to be a movement or a direction towards more diversion, people not serving jail sentences. Obviously, our state pen has been full. I've been talking about that for 6 years and how we need to get more capacity out there. Finally, this year, they're adding a little bit more, but I've been talking about that for 6 years. Problem is when the state pen is full and they're pushing things back on the jails and there's no room for incarceration, then these people, we don't have any other choice than to let them out.